Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Millar, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Dan Madden, get excited.
Excitement! Woo!
Trying to generate excitement like Cal State Northridge as they went down the semifinals a couple weeks ago. Fake excitement.
Fake fire.
Fake fire. Fake fire here. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Net Live here on the 24th of May, 2010. We are glad you have joined us. We have a fun program planned today. Dan, it's you, me, and the Redondo Beach home court, along with intern Alex sitting in on the mic. Our other members are just too big time to even hang out with us anymore. I see a morphing of the Net Live.
Well, Geeter's for sure too big time.
Dude,
where's Reed?
He's at Lakers practice. That's where Geeter's at.
Practice.
He's right now next to Kobe, shagging balls for Kobe, you know, working on his shooting touch a little bit.
You're talking about practice.
Practice. So that's where Geeter is. He's big timing us, and one day he'll come back to Earth and return to Los Angeles and once again be in studio. But we're expecting him to call in. We're looking forward to him calling in, giving us the full report from what's gone on. And Reed Pretty back in the country. He has returned.
Woo! Hey, Reed.
He's happy to be
Wait,
back.
Where is he?
He's in practice.
Mm.
Right back to the grind. No rest for the wicked.
That's gotta mess with your head, man. You're in Russia just grinding for like 7 months. Like hurting and just cold. You come back here, it's like, finally, I got to go play more volleyball.
I'll tell you what, though, you're happy to be back in an American practice. Yeah, it's a little hectic. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff to do. You have a lot of things to take care of because you've been gone for 6 months, but you are happy to be back in a gym where everything sort of makes sense.
Yeah, but it's what's weird is he's used to Hugh when he comes back here. Now he's got Alan Knipe. You know, he's been in Russia doing his thing.
He's still angry. He's still bitter.
Well, he can't be bitter at his current coach, at Alan Knipe.
No. He's not bitter about that. He's bitter about Hugh abandoning him. He's still a little upset. We've brought it up all last year, and Reed doesn't like it, but he's not here, so he can't control the show.
And he watches what he says, and you don't for him.
I got asked this week about the coaching change, and somebody said to me, I hadn't seen him in a while. I was at a scrimmage this week that we'll get to, but asked me about what I thought of Hugh taking over the women's program. And this was Gary Moy, a guy who used to work with the USOC, and he said, yeah, this was really a great thing for the women's program, right? And I said, you know, I don't think it's a great thing for the women's program as much as I think it's a negative thing for the men's program.
Yeah, well, the women just won a silver medal. Like,
well, right, but they've never won gold.
Yeah.
Never
right.
won gold. You have a country that has thousands upon thousands of women playing, huge collegiate base of talent to choose from, and they can't win a gold medal. Or haven't won a gold medal just yet. And well, so, yeah, while it is good for the women's team, it's bad for the men's team. Here you had a group of guys going a certain way with a certain culture that was amazing to watch in the gym, not just at the Olympics, but anytime you stepped in their gym, it was terrific. And that's all gone away, at least from the way Hugh structured it. Now, nothing to say that Allen's not going to be just as good, maybe better, but he's definitely going to be different. We know he's going to be a little bit different. And that's no slight on him whatsoever. This is just talking about the past and saying, you know, he had an opportunity to create a culture for an entire generation of volleyball players, and that now is gone.
Well, no.
Because it's gone across the gym.
Well, yeah, this is very dramatic.
This is radio. We have to make it exciting. We can't just sit around like it's your living room. And you know.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's yell a little more.
If you start yelling too much, Dan, I've got something for you.
All right. How'd the Eagles do this weekend?
The Eagles?
No Eagles?
We're done, dude. We're done.
All right.
We're actually done.
Okay, so is that why you were on the beach?
Yes. I played volleyball with you this weekend on Saturday. I'm still recovering today.
Really? Is it that bad?
I'm retiring from my unretirement, Dan. I'm sorry to tell you. I will not be coming to play any longer, ever again.
You're done?
Yeah.
It's
brutal, man.
Beach volleyball is brutal?
For what my knees can handle, volleyball is brutal. It's the jumping. It's not anything else. It's the jumping.
All right.
The active jumping.
So. Well, all right. Well, it's definitely not the swinging and hitting because, man, you just go all out for that.
True, even when I'm hitting 6 or 8 feet out.
You hit out of bounds a lot.
Way too much.
When you play on the beach, you look like an indoor player playing beach volleyball.
Yeah, that's about right.
You can just tell by the movement, especially on blocking. It's very, very blocky or boxy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking an area.
Nygaard still looks like an indoor player playing beach. He doesn't look like a beach player.
Yeah, beach is a different world, and I haven't played it in a long time, and I haven't played volleyball in a long time. And
you look good out there. You improved in like 5 minutes. You're pretty good on the block too.
I got a hold of Nils Nielsen a couple times. Nielsen. Nielsen.
He was terrible.
Yeah, he was. I mean, you teamed us together, and we were really, really bad. Really bad. All right, so Dan, what have you been doing?
You did better than I think Geeter would have done, though.
Well, we'll have to see. That's upcoming.
Yeah. Well, Geeter and Aaron Watchvogel.
It was good to see you out there,
Geeter
by the way.
Geeter will fire it out.
It was good to see you out there on the beach.
Yeah,
playing.
I didn't feel that great.
Still looking shredded. Haven't played in a while, but you're ready, dude.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Intern Alex, you're here with us again, week number 2 of the show, but you spent 1 week on the ground. Now, last week, Dan, very funny thing happened. Right after the show, Alex and I go to pick up my uncle down here in Torrance.
Okay.
We drive in to pick him up. We're picking him up at the Porsche dealership. And we drive in. Alex goes, "This is my hotel. This is where my hotel is."
Excuse me, motel.
Motel. It was a Ramada motel, by the way. It's attached to the Porsche dealer. She's like, drive up the back here. This is where my room was. We drive up the back, make a left, and sure enough, there it is, a brand new wooden post built in front of a room and a completely boarded up room.
Was it a Porsche that crashed in?
It was Lexus.
It was a Lexus. Where the old man had driven right through the room, right there. We were at the scene of the crime.
So, wait, that's right. Last week, Alex was in a room in this hotel, a motel, and right next door, a Lexus crashed into the room.
A Lexus drove through the room.
Yeah. So if you were in that room, like, or if it had crashed into your room, wherever it ended up, would it have, like, hit you?
I wouldn't be with us today, probably.
Holy
shit. Would have been the shortest internship in the history of the Net Live. The short history. Yes, Dan, yeah. I know. Yeah.
That's pretty... I did not realize...
A near-death experience.
Yeah.
It was traumatizing.
Were you just scared out of your mind?
I was pretty scared. I'd already had a crazy trip coming up here, so that just kind of topped it off, really.
So her mom had gone to the hospital, hadn't felt too well on the way in the middle of Kansas.
Huh.
Then got here, and Alex sounded like she'd been in the car for a long time with her mom by that point.
Oh, yeah.
But it all got better, Alex.
It did. Alex? I wasn't sure if California was the place for me, but...
Then mom got on a plane. Mom got on a plane. That helped. That was step number one.
Yeah.
Step two.
Moved in with Rick,
my father-in-law up at the Rancho.
And the peacocks.
And the peacocks. Yeah, how are the peacocks treating you, by the way? It's breeding season.
Oh, it's awesome. Every morning, about 6 a.m., you can hear them going to town. And every night, they're making an awful noise.
Yeah. Have you heard the honking yet? I mean, there's the call, but then there's the...
And you never think of peacock, oh, they're so pretty. But they might be one of the most annoying animals ever created. And... Kevin told me that, what was the fine on hitting one of them?
$1,400.
If you hit a peacock.
Well, if you hit one and don't get out of your car and look shocked, oh my God, a peacock, how sad, then you're okay. You negate the $1,400 fine. But if you run one over.
Someone has to see you do this.
Right, and then you get your license plate. But people on the hill will. This hill, Palos Verdes, to the south of the Los Angeles South Bay, is full of people that love these non-native, super annoying, destructive birds. It's not like peacocks are from here, man. They were imported in the 20s by a single family and just basically set loose. They're like feral cats.
It's like Asa avocados, man.
Asa avocados? They're not native to Southern California?
No, they're Mexican.
Yeah, but they're quiet.
It's like one.
When was the last time you got woken up by an avocado?
They're quiet.
Yeah.
Did an avocado ever eat your plants outside?
No, I'm very happy that avocados exist here. Extremely happy.
I'm all for avocados. Yeah, yeah. I'm against peacock.
I've never seen a peacock.
Never once?
Seen a peacock?
No.
Deanne, we're taking you up. You gotta go to the in-laws' house.
I live on the beach. I don't go anywhere near grass or shrubbery or wooded areas.
Shrubbery?
Is that a movie quote? Is it only Palos Verdes where they are?
Yes. They're all over Palos Verdes. And only one side of the hill, really. They haven't crossed over the other side yet. And you're not allowed to shoot them, theoretically, that is.
So no hunting peacock.
Uh-huh.
How big are they?
A big peacock? It's like a giant turkey.
How big's a turkey?
What do you mean, how big's a turkey?
I mean, I know.
You've never seen a turkey?
I've seen, like, Dan, a turkey I eat for Thanksgiving.
You really do
like,
live on the beach.
How big? How much bigger are they?
All right, let's
see.
Feathers
and stuff like that.
They're three times the size of a seagull. Does that give you some idea?
It's got to be more than that.
A peacock, that's the body. And then you have the tail. You have the
yeah,
huge
how big
tail.
Are those things?
The tail? It's about
well, the boy.
6 feet for the men. Yeah.
You can't just do a wingspan in the studio and then
six
expect
feet.
The listeners to know what you're
six
talking.
Feet. Yeah, this is not a video show yet. Soon. 6 feet long on the tail. All
right.
And then you got a body that's, you know, another, I don't know, 3 feet.
And then the
head.
They look splendid. They look
they're
wonderful.
Very pretty. Okay. They're very pretty. And they're annoying as all.
Do you want to go, like, hug one or, like, what do you want to do?
If you can catch one. You want to shoot one. It's what you want to do.
Are they, like, catching chickens?
Oh, you can't
like
catch them. Dude, they will run. They can't really fly. They can fly up, but they can't have sustained flight. So they'll go up in trees. You'll see them sitting way up in a tree. They have one of my in-laws called Heacock. Because he's gigantic. He's got, you know, the breastplate and the whole deal. Rides a small cat. And he goes up in the tree, unbelievably loud, and huge tail. So, yeah, peacock's not a good thing for Alex. Alex, what else? You've been hanging out there at the ranch with my father-in-law. I think you're keeping him company.
Yeah. Made it to the beach the other day.
Yeah.
A couple days
finally.
Ago. Yeah. Dan,
so
Dan hooked me up with some people to play with.
First ever beach volleyball experience, right?
Right.
Oh, all right.
Pure indoor player.
Quiz. What were the names of the three girls you played with?
Oh,
come on. Uh-oh. They're not listeners to the show, don't worry.
If she gets one.
Ivory.
No, you'll get one. You'll remember my
girlfriend. Ivory. I got that one. Ivory?
False.
Close, but false.
False.
No.
That's Ivory, for sure.
Ivory?
Ivy.
Ivy. Yeah.
Pull the
bad.
Mic
okay.
a little closer, Alex. We won't be able to hear you.
All right, my bad. All right, Paola.
Yeah.
Paola.
Right.
Very good.
John Mayer's got
it.
Paola.
And I can't remember the other partner, and she was my partner for most of the time.
Tracy. Yes.
Yeah.
She was
from
really
Cal
nice.
Cal Poly.
She's the one who lives on the Strand at 30th.
Pretty nice house, right
it
there.
It is the best.
Oh, that's nice. How does she manage that?
Her great aunt lives there.
Very nice.
Oh yeah.
Very nice. That's the hookup.
That's where we go surfing.
They kind of have the spot held down. That's their fort, right the beach right next to it. So we got to play right outside their house, and it was nice.
When's the next time you're getting to play? Do you have any idea?
I think they said Memorial Day.
Monday.
But I think I'm going to try to enter a tournament that day for my first one, so we'll
see.
Where at?
Got her hooked up with a partner.
I think it's at Hermosa Beach.
Who's the partner?
Chelsea. Can't think of Chelsea's last name offhand.
Hayes?
No. Chelsea from South Bay. One of the players I coached a while back. She plays for Temple University.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What? I don't want to make fun of you too much, Alex, because the girl said you were actually really good and improved a ton over the course of the day. But one of them was saying she was standing like 10 feet from the net on serve receive.
I was ready to use my hand.
Oh, you're going overhand?
I was ready.
Can't do that.
Yeah, I figured that out a couple times after doing
it. Did you go open hand tip?
No, I never did that. I did go for a set a couple times, and that was funny.
Oh, yeah. Hand
it was pretty windy out, too. It was pretty windy.
That was as windy of a day as you'll get.
Yeah, you don't want to play in any more wind than that.
Yeah, first day on the beach ever.
Yeah, your girlfriend told me, I'm not trying to be rude, but, like, you're standing really close to the net. I'm like, yeah. I mean, what's going on? What's wrong with that? And she's like, well, you can't use your hands, so you might want to scoop back. And so I kept doing this stupid two-handed shove, and it wasn't pretty.
You said, thanks, Ivory. I'll back up now.
Yeah. My partner, Tracy, was really helpful, and she was teaching me the hand signs, and she was really nice. And she put me on the right side for a while, and that's where I kind of did better.
All right, so week two, we hope you improve. But you had a good time?
I did. I had a great time.
Good. And you went to national team practice this week.
Yeah, that was fun.
So this is a big week. Play your first beach volleyball, learn about peacocks, get crashed into in your hotel room, and go to national team practice.
Yeah.
Give me your impressions of national team practice. Both the men and the women were there.
I was definitely impressed with both of them. I mean, we spent most of the time with the men because we were interviewing Evan Paddock that day. But I've never seen guys volleyball before it live. I've seen it on TV and the Olympics, but I've never seen it live, and it was absolutely impressive. These guys vertical, I've never seen anything like it.
Favorite player?
Oh, come on. You can't do that to me. You know that one.
Best player in the gym?
Matt Anderson.
Matt Anderson, best player in the gym. I'll give him that. I'll give him that. Evan Paddock gave his digits. Wanted Alex's digits right off the bat.
Is this for real?
That's for real.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're now Facebook friends.
Does he have your digits?
And he's used them.
All right. Come on. All right. Not the show.
Never know what you might get when you go to national team practice.
Yeah, but Evan was sweet. His interview turned out pretty good. A little boring, a little dry, but...
Don't put it up that way. No.
No, no.
You know what, though, Alex? You made lemonade from lemons. We can't bag on Evan. We love Evan.
He was very nice.
Evan's an awesome guy. We have a sweet new player buzz video coming out on him. Alex put together this week.
I blame the questions. Just kidding.
The boss. She's thinking about blaming the boss right there who asked all the questions.
I don't know about that one.
So, Dan, you can judge for yourself. Evan Paddock's Player Buzz video coming out later today, early tomorrow. It'll be up on the website, thevolleyballnetwork.com. Hey, 347-677-1525. Get in on the discussion today. 347-677-1525. Give us your Geeter. Give us your Reed. We need someone in here filling in for those two knuckleheads who keep skipping the show. I mean, Reed acts like he's a volleyball player. Something has something to do. So, Reed, let's see. Dan, this is for you.
Yeah.
This is the opening.
Ba-ba-da-ba! Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Remember this? This is great stuff.
The victory. And the agony of defeat.
Oh, the agony of defeat was brutal.
The human drama of athletic competition.
All right. Dan, this is your new feature. We're going to have you spanning the globe each time we come in here today. So give us some headlines from all around the world.
All right. On the FIVB, American teams, both genders, netted gold at the Rome Grand Slam. Rogers Dahlhauser, 23-21 and 21-11.
Nice. Domination in game number two.
Over fourth seed Alisson Cerruti and Emmanuel Rego. Brazil.
Nice. I like that 21-11 score.
Yeah, Phil, he can really block well. On the women's side, Ross and Kessie beat the German team of Ludwig and Goller, 19-17. Wenlock and Mandeville are the official mascots of the 2012 Olympics in London. Wenlock and Mandeville. Have you guys seen the 2012 London Olympics logo?
I've not seen the logo, but I've seen
crazy,
these guys.
Wild. You got to look this up. I'll get this on the website. It is unlike anything you've ever seen, especially when compared to other Olympic logos. It's just bizarre. Someone on the chat board, find it for me.
The mascots are crazy looking. They look
I haven't seen
very
them.
Odd. It's like a giant eyeball with a teardrop coming off the back.
We need an eyeball with a mullet.
Yeah. Wenlock and Mandeville. I do like the fact that sounds very English to me. That
yeah.
Sounds very London.
We should have Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. That's what it sounds like to me. This sounds like a mix between Shakespeare and Sherlock Holmes.
It sounds to me like two guys who'd be sitting up there critiquing the Muppet Show. It sounds like to me.
Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know. It's like a kind of torture to have to watch a show. What's their name?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Stadler and Waldorf.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
All right.
We got a flash report. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. Men's team of Italy suffered a surprising defeat against Turkey.
Turkey.
In the second qualification round of the 2011 European Championship, the tournament host demolished the Italians in the city of Ankara. Italy lost in three straight sets. Sad. Italy used to be one of the strongest teams in the world, but it appears their days are numbered as other European teams are becoming stronger each year. Dear Coach Anastasi, please bring back Cisola and Martino.
Cisola. This is from Vollywood. We picked this up off Vollywood, off their Facebook feed. So, Dan, you got to edit these sometimes and look at what's being said. All right. Instead of sad.
We love
Ace over there at Vollywood, but yeah.
Ace in your face.
Your own
USA
words.
USA Volleyball announces its 12-player 2010 U.S. Girls Olympic Volleyball Team. Olympic team. Jeez, what? Roster that will compete in the inaugural Youth Olympic Games in August 2010. The selections were made by U.S. Girls Youth
Olympic team head coach Ron Wild. Ron Wild.
Rod Wild.
Rod, yeah.
He does not have to change his name.
Rod Wild. Rod is such a better name than Ron. And assistant coach Charlene Johnson Tagaloa. USA Volleyball selected their national beach coaches for the summer. John Aharoni from Santa Monica will travel with the under-19 team to FIVB World Championships yep. in July. Eduardo Angino Basile from El Segundo will go with the under-21 team to the FIVB Junior World Championships in September in Turkey. And Anna Collier from Manhattan Beach will go to the under-26 and under-23 A2 team FISU World University Championships in June in Turkey.
There you go.
There we went.
That's a whole bunch of information.
Play the music again. Come on.
You know these guys, John Aroney? Yeah, you gotta play it at the end.
I know who he is, yeah.
I grew up with this.
You grew up in the 50s?
Isn't that the 50s?
You grew up in
the late 70s, early 80s, Wild World of Sports. Jim McKay.
Was that after? That was before Jim Lampley, right? Jim Lampley used to do the Wild World of Sports.
That was Jim McKay right there. Jim McKay was the man way back in the day. He was terrific. I always loved that show, get excited to watch it, because it wasn't like you had SportsCenter. There's your picture of Wendley and Manville.
Goodness, look. I'm looking at the Olympic mascot.
Eyeballs with teardrops
Thank
on the back.
You.
And there's a rainbow behind them. They're happy. Dan, what do you think about all this coaching that's going on here with the beachside? I see a lot more information about under-23 championships and coaches going, not just players, and coaches are being selected.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about coaches and who should represent for the beach side of USA Volleyball.
Yeah.
I'm excited that Angino is on there because I think he's one of the best beach coaches around in Southern California for sure. So I'm really happy about that. It seems like they're serious, and I think a lot of the issues.
USA Volleyball is serious.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the issues revolved around compensation. So if Angino is doing that, that must mean they're stepping it up. So I'm happy about it. John Aharoni is a Santa Monica guy. I don't know much about him. He's been on that coaching squad for.
Geeter would know him. Geeter and he would be best friends sure. going back 20 years.
Yeah. But I don't know Anna Collier.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I think it's interesting that Italy gone down to Turkey. That's early. It's just a tune-up match. Doesn't mean too much.
Do they have their full team?
It all depends on who comes back. Yeah. You know, Italy's biggest problem is that they don't have a whole bunch of good young talent. That's the biggest issue for them. They lack some really good young talent, and I'm not sure why that is in that country that has such a strong volleyball presence and such a strong volleyball history that they continue to not develop talent. But you see the old guys coming back. Dude, Cizzola's getting up there. Martino, if he could ever develop into a great player, if he just looked like he was having a little bit more fun, he might be a good contributor. But they lack a big opposite. They haven't had a big opposite in, probably 5 years. They haven't had a great opposite in that. You need that to drive your game. If you look at Serbia, who now is missing Ivan Milkovic this year, but Milkovic has carried them for the better part of a decade. If you look at the U.S. side, Clay Stanley, he's been a big force for the United States for the better part of a decade. So, you need a big opposite, and Italy just does not have great talent there, unfortunately. You still laughing at those mascots over there?
I'm looking at these things. They're cyclopses. They're eyeball heads with bodies.
Yes. I'm not sure what the message is there. What's with the rainbow? Just happiness, unity, togetherness?
Know. On a brick wall. Weird, man. I linked it on the volleyballnetwork.com.
All right, get on there. Check it out. Get on the chat board at the Net Live.
Like a fins or like. Pause.
Get on the chat board now at thevolleyballnetwork.com. Get in the discussion, 347-677-1525. We want to hear from you. This is a chance for you to come into the show, talk about whatever you want to talk about. We have an interesting discussion coming up about stay and play. This is a thing that's going on in the juniors that USA Volleyball is having the juniors do. We're going to talk about that. We're going to set it up for next week, and we'll have some experts in here to talk about it. And we also had a USAV scrimmage this past weekend. We'll have that and more coming up shortly here on the Net Live. Thanks for being here.
Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back. TheVolleyballNetwork.com, The Net Live. Welcome back in. We're hanging out here in the Redondo Beach home court. Myself, Dan Madden, and Alex Kelly. Myself being Kevin Barnett. Welcome to the program. We appreciate you being here. It kind of sounded like I was you for a second there, Dan.
Who are you?
Myself, Dan Madden. So, Dan, I wanted to talk about the scrimmage that went on Friday.
Yeah.
U.S. men. Red and blue scrimmage, and before they got to the scrimmage, there was an event held for ex-national team players, Olympians, and people who support the program heavily there at the Long Beach Pyramid. Really, one of the first times I've ever been to, even when I was on the team as a player, a mixer for former and current players.
Oh.
Really a cool thing.
Thrilling for you.
Well, it's nice to have a sense of fraternity with the people that are there. And the people that have been there and the people that have built this program, some of the great names in the sport, Mike O'Hara, beach player. You might remember him, Dan, in your beach playing. Butch May was there, Karch, Jeff Nygaard, Brett Winslow, Phil Etherton, Gary Sato, all kinds of names. You know, lots of great current players. Alan Knipe showed up. The whole coaching staff came in. Tom Hoff came in. Reed Pretty was in. A bunch of current stars. David Lee came in, back fresh from Russia. But lots of really old guys, too. Lots of guys from way back in the day. But guys that have built this program, been a part of the history of the USA Volleyball national teams and volleyball's inclusion in the Olympics. And I thought that was great. And it really is a group of people that should have more opportunities to get together and be a part of what is really an exclusive group to be a part of. And it really a fun event, I thought.
All those guys, the old school beach volleyball guys especially, but like indoor volleyball too, they all have good like fraternity style get-together stuff like that. Like they've just all known each other for so long, and a lot of them still live in the same towns and stuff. A lot of them, or San Diego or Ocean, Orange County. So it's pretty cool to see them all come together. And I don't know if that's going to happen anymore because there's so many transplants for these kind of sports and guys just go back to where they're from.
Like, it's going
to
take a little more effort.
Yeah,
it's going to take a little
sure.
more effort. It's going to take a Facebook page.
No.
It's going to take a little more effort to keep that group together. And the indoor side hasn't done as good a job because of that exact thing, the proximity. People leave the indoor team and they go back to wherever they're from.
Yeah.
And that's on the men's and the women's side.
because it is a bit more diverse. So those folks have gone back to wherever they're from, and it is hard to get everyone to fly in together. I mean, I saw the guest list. It was 150 deep, and I think we had 60 or 80, maybe close to 90 yeses.
Wow.
To come in there. And that includes spouses and stuff, a total of close to 100 guests. But it was really, really cool, and I hope that the indoor side continues to do that. USA Volleyball actually did a special logo. They took their logo and ringed it in gold, and that's going to be only for ex-players, which is kind of a neat thing and something I think
they're
going to
try
and build.
What are they going to do with it? On like apparel or something?
They did it on a shirt. I have a polo shirt that has it on there. I think they'll do other things with it. But just to identify that as a group, I think it's important for the sport, to have an identity, to have the older players recognized, to keep their names alive. I've railed before against older players as the face of the sport, but I think they're incredibly important from the history of the sport and building context of today's current stars. And that hasn't really been done previously. So I would love to see that continue. But the scrimmage itself, lots of fun to watch.
Who won?
The red team was killing it when I had to go because I had a babysitter. In set number two, they were up 2-0. They had a lot of firepower on that side. It was Ryan Millar, Max Holt in the middle, Donald Sujo setting, and then you had Matt Anderson and Sean Rooney outside, along with Evan Paddock in the opposite. It's a pretty good team.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good team. Don Sujo, of course, 2004 Olympian, 2008 he was left off the squad, but he's back with the team playing very well, had a great season, was MVP of the All-Star game in Italy.
Nasty good.
Very, very good. Max Holt out of Penn State. Hear a lot of great things about this good young player in the middle. The U.S. needs new young talent in the middle, and he's one of those guys they're excited about. For one big reason, his serve generates a ton of service pressure, just hammers the thing. Really cool to see that. Matt Anderson, of course, second year on the team now. I'm looking to Matt Anderson to have a breakout year. This guy needs to become a dominant force, not only for the United States, but worldwide. This guy, he's about 6'9", jumps out of the gym, not the strongest dude I've ever seen, but he's got a good arm, hits the ball sharp, hits the ball high. I'm excited to watch this guy develop. I've railed on him before here on the program for kind of disappearing last year, but I think this is the breakout year for him. He's got to stay healthy, keep it together, and make some good progress.
Well, yeah, he's got to do that just to make the Olympic squad.
He's got to learn to pass. He's got to pass better, and the only way to do that is to stay on the floor.
Yeah. Where do you rank him right now?
Where do I rank him? If you were to absolutely have a starting group today, I don't know you could put him on the floor for very long.
No.
Against a Russia.
Now.
Against a Brazil. Because they just eat him alive with serves.
Okay, so we got the backups in 08 were Sean Rooney and Scott Tuzinski.
Correct.
Has he surpassed either of those? Because he wasn't.
He has not surpassed Sean Rooney.
Okay.
I think I watched Sean pass in practice a little bit in the match. Some very tough serves. And Sean looks better passing. Of course, he's been in that Russian league. He's had to pass the ball better in the Russian league. He's just had to get better. And he's done that. So I think Sean Rooney's still above him. Sean, the question is, at the net, is he going to hit the ball hard enough all the time? He has great range, but he's under the ball a lot, gets dug quite a bit, and it's kind of up and down that way. When Sean stays behind the ball and hits the ball hard, boy, he's a force to be reckoned with. He's hitting the ball OT constantly, over the block.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, he's a nice player. So this is an important critical year. Last year, it's kind of a developmental year. People come in, you get a chance to play, the results are whatever they are. And when Alan Knight came in 2 months before, not even 2 months before, more like 4 weeks before, more like 1 month before the season even started, it really wasn't a system. It really wasn't a team. It was just Alan Knight throwing together a group of talent that was in the gym. So I think this is a critical season for the coaching staff to establish the culture of their team, to establish how they want it to be played, and really start to look at and evaluate talent. And people need to start differentiating themselves from the others. And I look to Matt Anderson to do that. Look to Max Holt to establish himself in the middle. There's a lot of that stuff that has to go on this season. But it was good. Fun event. Well attended. I really like that. It was well attended by the public. And I look forward to more of those kinds of things.
Sorry I wasn't there.
Yeah, you're probably on the beach. It's indoor. It's not your thing. I know.
Dude, Long Beach, that's far. That's like 20 minutes,
man. It's like 35 minutes on the scooter. It's a lot of dangerous roads between here and there.
No. It gets real hairy after that, after Long Beach.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There's like
on your way to Huntington, going 55 along
the swamps right before Huntington Pier are just, I'm scared out of my mind.
That's because it's about 55 miles an hour, and that's what you're scared of. That little scooter is just plugging along at 35, right?
No, that thing goes far or fast.
We mentioned that the women were in the gym also, women's national team getting started for the season. We were in the gym with them back on Tuesday, I think it was, or Wednesday, can't remember, with Alex. It's good stuff. Good to see Coach McCutcheon in there. Good to see them getting to work. So many women in the gym right now. Man.
Is that Hugh's thing? He just wants a lot of players and a lot of talent to evaluate?
Different than when he took over the men, he has to evaluate all the talent. When he had the men, he was an assistant coach for 2 years, very much in touch with what was happening. And, of course, there's fewer guys coming out of college who you can even look at for a national team position.
Yeah, probably.
The women's side, there are so many great women's players. And Hugh, I think, has to still be familiarizing himself with the entirety of the women's program and the entirety of the women's NCAA offerings as they come out of college. But some really good talent in that gym. They're doing a lot of fundamental stuff. They're still working on that training we talked a lot about last year, of learning how to play the game the way Hugh wants the game played. He has to change a lot of technical things. It's kind of one of the bad things about having so many different women's programs. There's a million ways to skin the cat in that game. People are doing crazy stuff passing. Of course, middles, thanks to the NCAA, come out having not played two-thirds of the game. They never play defense. They never serve. So you get a big, tall middle who can hit and block and do nothing else. In the international game, they're asked to do a lot more. So they're getting ready June 5th to depart for the Montreux tournament up in Switzerland, a yearly event. They're going to play Japan, Germany, and Russia in the first round of that. So it should be a good tune-up for them. Then they're looking later for Grand Prix. Grand Prix is going to happen in August, and that's going to be mostly out in Asia. One of the unfortunate things about the women and the way the schedule is set up is that the women don't have an opportunity to play in the United States very often. Because if the United States is going to host one of the international events, they have to host 4, 5, 6 teams, which is an incredible undertaking. You can imagine bringing in 6 teams with airfare, hotel, food, everything else, and trying to get them to play and the facility and the fans and the translators. It's crazy. It's crazy. So unfortunately, the women don't get a chance to play in the United States terribly often, but they do get to play great competition at these two tournaments throughout the year.
All right, I've got a question.
Yes, having watched national team practice, yes.
It was about your comment you just said earlier about middles having to do a little bit more.
Yes.
Being a middle and being only in the indoor, what do they have to do at the national team level that's different?
You're going to have to serve, and you're going to have to play
defense
during one rotation. Yeah. There's no libero coming in to serve for you. Liberos can't serve in the international game. So, yeah, you have to learn to actually serve, and that's one of the things. You now have two players on the court who, if they haven't served, how are you going to generate decent service pressure out of those two positions? So now a third of your roster can't serve effectively or doesn't have experience serving effectively, even in college, much less stepping up to the international game. So really an unfortunate consequence of NCAA rules. I know why they do it, the NCAA. They do it because of participation. The more kids you can put on the court, the more participation you can have, and people actually get in matches. La-di-da-di-da, great. I want to advance the game. I want to see the game get advanced. That's what I am concerned about. Another women's item, Kerry Walsh, new baby.
Yay!
New baby boy.
What's the baby's name?
Do you remember the baby's name?
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell me.
Sundance.
Sundance!
Now.
Okay. Festival is not his middle name, hopefully.
I don't know what the baby's middle name is. It's a boy. It's
Alex, get us the full name. It was on the internet. Thank you very
much. Their first boy was Joseph. Joey.
Joey, okay. Is this Sonny?
I wonder what the nickname...
Or Dancy? SD.
Oh, SD. Dance? There's a beach player named Dancer something.
Dancer?
Does that mean something in another language?
Sundance is the film festival in Utah.
I don't think it means anything in another language. Sundance.
Sundance Thomas Jennings, according to Carvel Photography.
There we go.
On that.
Sundance Thomas Jennings. You gotta be a little quicker. Gotta be a little bit quicker.
I'm on the chat board too. Okay.
So congratulations to Kerry Walsh, baby number two, and now that's gonna be a busy household. Speak from experience. Get a couple of kids going in the house that close together.
More importantly,
yes,
Kerry Walsh is going to get back and train now and get back on the beach this year. And who is she going to play with? That's going to start. Oh, my God. Did the boogeyman just show up?
Nicole and Misty, they need to start playing better, don't they?
Nicole and Misty taking a fourth at the FIVB this weekend. And
they're working through some things.
They're looking all right. I don't know. I didn't watch their fourth place match on UniversalSports.com, which you can watch right now, anytime. Speaking of Universal Sports, they're going to dip their hands. Is that the...
Sure. Hooks.
Analogy?
Hooks.
Their
hands.
Hooks into AVP. Broadcast some stuff. Hans Stovels just had an article out a couple days ago on AVP.com. And KTLA, a local station, is going to have some stuff, some AVP stuff. In addition to Gossip Girl and Vampire Diaries.
Both of which are on the TiVo currently here in my house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You want to watch it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, I'm good.
I was really mad because my TiVo didn't pick up Supercross or Motocross yesterday. Very, very angry.
Sometimes my TiVo goes crazy and it doesn't get PTI. And I miss the PTI and I freak out. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
would
what,
freak me
I don't
out.
Know how it happens.
Well, at least Saturday
you
guys have a TV, so I've got a TV, but it's not working.
Do you have internet?
I do have internet. I don't know what I'd do without internet.
You don't need TV.
Everything... Yeah, but it just sits there and it's big and it just doesn't work. So
it's calling
to
you, like you want to turn it on because it's there.
But you can hold and cradle your computer while you watch TV.
You have to understand, okay. Alex is up at the ranch. They don't watch TV up there.
No, they do watch TV, but it's a 12-inch TV. And they set two little wooden chairs next to it, and they get about 2 inches from the TV and watch it.
Really, well, really comfortable chairs?
Well, then it's a good thing that Universal Sports is showing AVP matches now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now you can watch beach volleyball, and you can pick up some pointers for next week and improve. And you can dominate Ivory and Paola.
All right, I'll get it down next time. My bad.
That would be good. That would be good. All right, I want to talk about something. Dan, did you have a chance to look this morning at the stay and play policy?
Yeah, I didn't really.
You scanned over the article?
No, I read the whole thing.
Okay.
I read as much as I could stomach.
I want to set it up this week. Yeah, it got pretty bad. I want to set it up this week, and next week we're going to endeavor to talk to USA Volleyball and some of the club directors around here that are involved in the stay and play. It's a policy that was put into place by USA Volleyball a couple of years ago, I believe before last year, that if you want to play in one of their championship events, you have to register your team to stay in a hotel through a company that USA Volleyball is working with. So they set you up, and you have to book travel through them into the hotel. Not airline travel, but your lodging.
All the hotel stuff, yeah.
All the hotel stuff. The idea behind it was, this championship event brings in so many people to the locale. This year it's Reno for the women, or for the girls, JOs. So many people come into the locale that they wanted a way to quantify that for the event operator, for the arenas, for the cities, and say this is an attractive event. This is what we're going to bring to your city. We're bringing X dollars, X number of room nights. We're bringing all these things to your city because otherwise it's tough to track with so many different clubs, so many different people coming. Also, it would allow for a large room block to be taken up with all the booking that was going on, and you get a discount. So instead of a room being $80, maybe it's $60 or $50 because you have a huge number of rooms being booked all at once by the travel company. There's been a lot of complaining about this, and we'll talk to some people who are involved with it, but basically the article that was on prepvolleyball.com delved into all the complaining, all the possible reasons you would want to book your own travel or your own lodging, including the Hawaiians saying, well, they didn't have kitchens, so we couldn't cook our own food. We'd like to cook our own food. We need to cook our own food, like they were from a foreign country or someplace where they were vegan or something.
I don't know if I've ever cooked my own food in a hotel.
Yeah, the complaining in the article got to me because it was about 4 or 5 internet screens worth of complaining. And
internet screens.
Really, really. Is that a quantitative measure? Really no giving of the facts and no giving of the reasons until the very, very end.
Really? I didn't get to the very end. I'll
I scrolled through just to find something with some quotes about why this was put into place, who was in favor of it. There have to be people in favor of it. You can dig up 10, 12, 15 people who don't like anything about any process. I mean, you could give out gold bars to everyone in the United States and some group of people would complain about the gold bars. Be like my 8-year-old. And it's just never good enough. Okay, fine. You know? But they're complaining about the kickbacks. They're calling it a kickback. I like that characterization. To USA Volleyball. So USA Volleyball gets $10 or $15 or something off every room that's booked.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but it goes to fund the championship event. It goes to fund national teams. It goes to fund grassroots programs. It goes to fund. It's not like it's going to some slush fund or Doug Beal's pocket. At least not mostly, I figure. See, I got to look at the screen. My wife's going to get really mad at that, by the way. We're getting rid of that. We're getting rid of that. That's out of here. Well, that's supposed to be deleted. It's the net life. So there is some money going back to USA Volleyball. I don't think anything's wrong with that.
Why do they do it there and just not increase the fees? They're just putting their fees elsewhere?
Well, you want to hear complaining, go ahead and increase the fee to be a member of USA Volleyball. You want to hear some serious complaining from people.
Okay, so they're just spreading it somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make money somehow. Everybody's got to make money. And in today's thinking, you're supposed to run a business but never make any money.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to give everything away for 0.1% profit margin. this doesn't work. You can't run a business that way. At some point, somebody has to make money. So the stay-and-play policy says if you want to be in a tournament, you have to be in one of these hotels. And people are complaining about the quality of hotels. People are complaining about all kinds of different things. So we're going to get into it next week. I wish Geeter was here to talk about it. And we have, we'll get into it a little bit right now. We have Brandon Rosenthal, friend of the program. We'll bring him into the show now. Brandon, are you there?
I'm afraid to say yes, just because you guys hung up on me last week.
We did hang up on you last week because when we went to you, you weren't there. You were just hanging out on the phone. Don't start defending yourself. Brandon Rosenthal, head coach at Lipscomb University, head coach for Alex, the intern, and also a club owner. Runs Nashville One. They're in Nashville, Tennessee. So he has dealt with this policy directly. Brandon, give us your thoughts on stay and play.
I don't know. It's just so ambiguous, to be honest with you. I just don't think that kind of what you guys were alluding to, that some serious questions have been answered, you know.
Such as?
From my experience, what we're finding with this is kind of along with the articles that you saw, or, you know, the pieces in the articles, is there's a lack of variety of hotels to choose from.
Okay.
There truly are, you know, clubs that are literally putting teams all over the city just because they can't get enough rooms for, you know, their club. I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, not to mention...
Before, clubs would book one hotel. They'd book all eight of their teams into one hotel, if possible. Now they're having to split teams up and go to multiple hotels.
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, I mean, it's just the lack of choices on, you know, let's say you got a group of people that want to, you know, don't mind spending a little bit more money on some rooms because they want to stay a little bit closer to the site.
Yeah.
You know, you got a group of parents, you can't do that here. I mean, it's, you are stuck. We've heard from a lot of different club owners where literally, I mean, it all depends on when you qualify, and some of that you just don't have a choice about, you know, and all of a sudden you're being stuck out in, you know, 30 minutes away. And so that means more money because you got to rent a car or, you know, I mean, part of going to nationals and things like that is being in a city where you can walk to and enjoy the city and, you know, making the whole experience. You know, I know you downplayed the whole kickback thing and things like that. And, you know, I don't know. The other thing that we're finding is it's not straight across the board where it's cheaper. A lot of what we found from parents is they're actually calling the hotels just to kind of get a comparison.
Right.
And a lot of places, it's actually cheaper just to go through the hotel than it is to...
Okay, so is this a problem? Is this a problem of the provider or a problem of the program? Because this seems to be, it seems like a good idea from a standpoint of save money, book large blocks of rooms, take up the whole city. But if you can't book those rooms in an effective manner, maybe it's the provider that's not taking care of business for them.
Well, then that's got to be the people that... make the provider the provider. I mean, it shouldn't be a big surprise that all of a sudden you've got all these people calling you and, you know, you've got eight teams from one club and they need to, you know, be in the same hotel. I mean, that should be something that on the front end they should be aware of.
How would club directors respond, or how do you think the public would respond to just paying more in fees to USA Volleyball versus the kickback if you had to pay $15 per player to participate?
I think you're onto something. I think what ends up happening, especially with parents, is they understand that they've got to pay money. They don't have a problem with that. But when stuff starts to get ambiguous and they don't have as much, you know, control of the situation, and you know, that's part of the problem as well. You know, the parents want control over the situations. But, you know, it's more of an upfront thing than it is on the back end. And I think that that's, you know, definitely the way to go.
So you'd rather just have a fee charged straight up front and then have it be straight to USA Volleyball. See, I think you're
absolutely
gonna some problems with that, though. People don't want to pay the national office. I think people want to go to these events, but they don't want to pay for them. And now JVA comes along and says, well, you can come to our events for free. But I think that's going to change, too, because JVA will find that there isn't enough money to go around. And it's nice to segment juniors, but should the rest of the sport be supported by the money of juniors or some of the other things going on? I mean, USA Volleyball does a lot of things with this money. Is that a problem for you as a club director that you're supporting other aspects of volleyball?
No. I don't think it's a problem at all. I think what's a problem is we don't really understand that on the front end. I think if you say, hey, well, you got to pay $15 more and this is what it's going to, I think people completely understand that. But now, you know, you're paying more money for hotel rooms, and we're not really sure. We're not sure, you know, who's getting the money. We're not sure what it's going to, things like that. So
you're paying money for hotel rooms, and you're not getting the satisfaction, because if all the hotel rooms were great, then you'd get satisfaction out of it if it was a better deal and
absolutely
in a decent hotel.
Absolutely.
All the complaints I heard were all the same stuff you're going to get from parents, from club directors, from just people in general anyway, no matter what the trip is, no matter who the entity is in charge of booking the room. The room isn't good enough. Somebody smoked in my room. I can't cook in my room. It's too far from the arena. You're going to have these problems anyway. It's just a matter of these people happen to have the problem because they were late or whatever it is. If everyone's booking the same on their own in the same city, those problems are just going to go to somebody else.
Yeah, but it becomes one of those things that they're controlling the issue. When yep. you take the control out of it and you say, hey, you got to pay more money and you don't have control over it. I mean, it's like in anything. I think people, you know, when they have to pay for something, they want some sort of control over it, you know. And when you're okay. taking that out of your hands, you know, all of a sudden people kind of get up in arms. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that we're starting to hear just in the club scene are people are literally – you know, especially with qualifiers, are saying, hey, we're not going to go to this qualifier because it's a state of play, you know. And
somebody
it's
else
kind of – so, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Don't go. Somebody else will go.
yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And you know, the reason that's happened for such a long time is there really hasn't been any other competition. Now, you've got JVA and things like that, you know, that are entering the arena, so to speak, as far as, you know, you've got different options. So it'll be interesting to see, you know.
Right, because there's money to be made, and people are going to start getting charged by JVA in one way or another, and they're going to get upset with that and look to go back somewhere else. It's an age-old story. But the good news is that there's enough people playing, enough teams playing, that you can support two different entities, USA Volleyball and JVA, at this point. I think that's a good thing. Brandon, we appreciate you calling in and actually talking this time.
I appreciate you guys actually letting me on the show this time. I mean, seriously, I give you an intern. You know, I figured that I deserve to be on the show. Not for long, just for my name to be on the show.
You picked it to be in on the show. You thought that was the case, huh?
Well, that, and I sent Dan an extra $100 so that he would just automatically put me on.
Perfect. Good job. All right, Brandon, thanks a lot. Talk to
Keep you up soon. The great work, you guys.
All right, see you.
And make sure Alex works hard.
Thanks.
We'll do. We're going to get into that more. We're going to get into stay and play more. We're going to get into juniors more. We're going to have some people on next week to talk more about it, because I don't speak from a point of expertise on this. I think the club directors do, and I think USA Volleyball does. And we'll get both those entities in here to talk about it. and get you more information about that. I know that's a big concern for people out there in the world of juniors volleyball. All right. I'm searching here, Dan. We're trying to go to break. What do you think? Is it going to work?
Break it.
Is it going to
work
this
time?
Let's go to break.
We going to have questionable calls?
We're going to have questionable calls. We can come back. Questionable calls? We're going to get Alex in on some questionable calls here. We're going to get her opinion.
Yes.
As a young volleyball player, someone who has only played indoor, maybe she can balance you out, Dan, and your only play outdoor. Okay? We'll see. Yeah, we'll see about that. Let's go to a different commercial. There's the one we're looking for. TheVolleyballNetwork.com, The Net Live. We appreciate you being here, getting the free podcast on iTunes. Be back shortly. Dan, Kevin, and Alex.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dan.
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up a phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Missed the latest episode of The Net Live? Download it now by clicking on the iTunes logo on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. It's free.
Yeah, welcome back to Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Hanging out in the Redondo Beach home court. Touched on stay and play a little bit. We talked about the men's national team scrimmage that went on this past week. Peacocks and Palos Verdes. Talked about a lot of things. First days of beach volleyball. What's that?
I'm going to PV today, and I'm tracking down a peacock.
You won't have to go far. All you have to do is follow Alex home. You might hit some pea chicks as they walk across the street. They're not even scared anymore. You know, all the cars have to stop. I'd like to aim for them, personally. Big scoop on the front of the car.
You could easily hit them.
Take them home and cook them up.
Don't broadcast
Peacock's
that.
Peacock's got to taste good.
I'm going to hear you. This is evidence against
Peacock's
you right
got to taste like chicken. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it tastes like chicken. Be pretty good.
All right.
Questionable calls coming up right now. Dan Madden.
Yes, sir.
Question number one.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Will Missy and Carrie be back in 2010? Be back together. Sorry.
Back together. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because I don't think you can stop the marketing machine. Assuming Carrie is healthy and Misty is still healthy. Of course, Misty's still recovering from Achilles surgery and really getting back into it. Didn't think she was going to play anymore, interestingly enough, after 2008. Talked to Butch May. Misty kind of thought she was done.
Yeah.
And found herself wanting to come back and had the injury and everything else and now has returned to the game. And Carrie, of course, coming off two pregnancies, it's going to take a little while, and I think they'll need a year to tune up together. But I'd like to see them back, and I think marketing-wise, you just can't turn it down. NBC will feature them like no other.
I would have said no a month ago because I thought Misty and Nicole would be doing a little bit better. They're not doing bad. I mean, taking a fourth in an FIVB is not bad. It's really good, especially considering Misty not playing for an entire year and still coming back from that.
But coming back in the top five form.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Missy's got a book coming out in June.
Yeah, she does.
When
we'll
that
talk
book
about
hits,
that
would be real nice to be playing with Carrie Walsh when that book hits.
Carrie's not going to be back in June.
Well,
you just had the baby last week.
Yeah.
You know anything about that whole deal?
Carrie was back she's back in August.
Back in August.
Yeah. All right. She might
maybe
July.
Maybe late July.
Anyway.
But I don't think so.
Yeah, well.
Not June anyway. I think they'll be back together. Marketing-wise, you can't stop it. There's just no way.
Okay.
There's just no way. All right, question number two, Dan.
Well, there's one on the board by the Dave 2235.
Okay.
Why are Jen and April Jen Kessie, April Ross. Why are they dominating in the FIVB but not the AVP?
Because there haven't been any AVP tournaments. That's
been
why.
Two.
But they occurred how many weeks ago? Now they've been off on the FIVB. I think it's a case of warming up for the season, and now you've seen them get into form, and I think when they come back in Huntington Beach 2 weeks, they're going to dominate.
Well, this has been the case. They won an FIVB event well before they won an AVP event. And, you know, that was with competing against Misty and Carrie, and they're not even competing against them
now.
Okay,
so why?
AVP.
Why? Pressure? Is it pressure?
I think some teams just do better with, you know, when you're in a different country, you have more of a focus on the actual event and the play.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in your hometown or you know, in Southern California playing an event, there's a lot of peripheral activity that kind of can be distracting. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but this isn't totally uncommon. It's more common the other way around to play like crap when you're internationally. But sometimes players have this focus, and this has been the case for them.
Okay. Question number two from you.
Do you have one?
Me?
Yeah, I got yours.
Yeah, all okay.
Right. How about this one? Maybe you need to prep for this. Maybe someone on the chat board has this, okay? Best volleyball name ever?
Ever.
Ever. Well, what's the best name?
What makes the best name?
Not like who has like a great name in the sport. Like Karch Kry is a great name in the sport. Actually,
right.
He has
but
a really
best,
cool
best
name.
Name.
Coolest name, basically.
You know, we just talked about him, Rod Wild.
Rod Wild. That's pretty good.
You know, because everybody talks about you'd have to use your first name plus the street you lived on. I don't think Rod has to change anything.
Your middle name.
Your middle name plus the street you lived on?
Yeah.
Reese Brainerd. That's not going to work for me. What's that doing?
Your middle name's
it's
Reese.
Going nowhere.
Your son's name is Reese.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, how about this? I have a friend who – BVBinfo.com is the beach volleyball website that I mention on the air all the time.
Yeah. It's a great site.
And they have birthdays every day.
Birthdays.
Whoever's birthday.
Events. Yeah.
Is in the database they put up there.
Okay.
And so my friend checks it every day. Kevin Lynch. He's a beach player.
Yeah.
He checks it every single day, and whenever there's a funny name, he emails me the name. And I love it when I get it, and I love it even more now that I can access all those. And actually, kindofgood.com had a BVB info photo of the day.
Okay, okay.
A while back.
Okay.
So here are the top.
What are websites or people?
There's one, Terry Canham. Which is pretty good. Canham. Gay Bengal. Gay Bengal.
Gay Bengal?
Gay Bengal. Yeah.
Gay Bengal. I thought that was Carson Palmer.
Yeah. Magic Maja. Magic.
What is this? Like the Indian team?
It's great names, man. Okay. Alan Allen.
Alan Allen, of course.
Alan
yeah.
Allen.
Yeah. Alan Allen's
classic.
A great name. Yep.
Kana Kama Hala Halakshmi Y. Last name is just the letter Y.
Just the letter Y. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And number one is for volleyball name. And I met this guy and I told him this because I found him on BVB Info a while ago. Digger Graybill. Best volleyball name ever.
Digger Graybill. That's definitely the best volleyball name ever. Okay.
Digger Graybill.
Digger. Digger wins. Hey, you know what? Laker practice must be over already.
What?
That was a quick one-hour shoot-around because we have Chris Geeter-McGee on the line. Geeter.
Hi, guys. I mean, do you miss me or what's going on? You guys are talking about Digger Graybill? Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
Right? Do you know Digger?
God, no.
Oh, somebody he didn't know.
I met him. I swear, he's friends with John Featherstone. My
Well, he's friends with Featherstone.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Digger Graybill, is
Reed
that
back?
The ever?
No, Reed is not back.
Oh, okay.
This show is the Dan and Kevin show.
Oh, man, we're going to have to rehash everything we said.
I know, he hasn't been listening.
Don't worry about it. Sorry, guys. I was working. Phil threw a little curveball at the media. We got to go in before practice, so we got there at 10 a.m., and now I'm at Fox Sports Arizona, and we're putting our little piece together that's going to go on the website later, foxsportswest.com, and on Angels Live tonight.
Nice.
Ooh.
Angels Live. So you doing some baseball stuff from down there too or what?
Well, no. I think they'll just air my piece on Angels Live, like, hey, we'll check in what's going on in Phoenix kind of thing, you know, and throw to it.
So what are you doing?
So Phil was screaming and yelling during practice or what?
They were pretty mellow. I talked to Pau Gasol, got a little soundbite from Pau, Kobe, Lamar and Bynum, and then we got one from Phil too. Basically, we were just kind of we tried to break down two things: why they struggled so much with the Suns' zone defense, number one, and number two was is Bynum going to play? Because last night Phil was like, maybe we'll sit him out a game, but Bynum says he feels good. Phil says he's going to play him, and the Lakers need to make open shots. The bottom line, they just didn't play well in their eyes. But it was a great time, man. Even though they lost, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. If anybody ever gets a chance to go to a Phoenix Suns game in Phoenix, do it, because he's probably one of the best fans in the NBA.
Yeah, Lakers leading the series 2-1, but going down last night horribly to the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. And
you're not going to sweep a good team. You're not going to sweep a good team like that. I don't think. I think that was unrealistic for people to think that, you know?
Everybody was thinking Phoenix was done. The Lakers were so, so good. But they were running like the old ABA, running up 125-30 points, and that seemed to be a
exactly.
Good game.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going on in the volleyball world, boys?
We've got all kinds of stuff we've been talking about. We talked about the beach. We talked about some indoor. There was a scrimmage this past week that you missed out on, and a little player get-together. It was
Gary Walsh had a baby. Am I still there? Yellow.
Never heard that one.
Yeah.
Wow, we dropped ourselves.
Jay said I poured something on the board.
Keeter just blew us off the air. Come on. This is podcast only time right here. We should play some music for
you
people.
You just texted me. I keep calling in, but I can't hear you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Here's what I've got for Keeter. Here's what I've got for Keeter, all right? Hey, Keeter, you know what?
Put a sock on it, boy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Put a sock in it. Let's see if we're back on air. We are back.
Hi, guys.
Geeter, holy cow, we're back on air. Thank goodness.
You guys treat me like Reed every time I'm not in there.
No, the thing is, you were there, and we weren't. We knocked ourselves off the air.
Yeah.
Nobody better to do it than ourselves.
The whole show got treated like Reed. We should have started some music right before we got booted off.
Just mid-sentence.
Yeah, yeah, and really, really loud, so you couldn't hear anything that we were saying. All right,
I'm sure
so
you guys have touched on that. Okay, sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
We had a questionable call for you, Dan.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, so my questionable call was, will Misty and Carey be back in 2010?
I don't think 2010, but I would say yes in 2011. I think Misty made a commitment to Nicole to do a year, and I think she will.
I forgot about the 2010 part of your question. So I think no for 2010. I'm going to go with 2011. Oh. Going back to my earlier answer.
You forgot?
It's unavoidable.
Did I copy your answer?
No. You're exactly right. I just said that marketing-wise, yeah. There's no way that you can not get back together if you're both healthy. I just don't.
I mean, it just would make no sense.
No.
I said yes.
How about Jen and April winning two in a row over there? Phil and Todd getting hot again.
Yeah. Phil and Todd are playing well. They're dominating.
Oh, another question from the chat board was, why do Jen and April do better internationally than they do on AVPs?
You know, I've been asked that last year as well, especially before they broke in Houston. They ended up winning four AVP events. You know, that international game, teams don't get to see them as much. They serve so well internationally. And you know, once they got over that hurdle in the States last year, I thought that they would come out and absolutely dominate this year. Now, they weren't playing that well in Santa Barbara or in Florida. So, I mean, we're only two tournaments in. I guarantee you they're going to win some AVP tournaments this year. It's not that they don't do well AVP. It's just internationally. I mean, and they have eight golds. And, you know, you got to remember they are a top four team in the world. So they're going to win tournaments.
Done. Hey, okay. Sundance Jennings. You gotta explain the name. I mean, come on.
Okay. We're going to have to get the story from him because I'm just going to give you this. When we were driving back from Santa Barbara, my wife and Carrie and my little daughter Millie from the Santa Barbara tournament, I had said something about Kelly because they were going to name the boy Kelly Thomas Jennings. And Carrie goes, no longer Kelly. It's going to be Sundance. And
she just put her foot down. That was it.
I said, really?
She didn't want
And, you know, she said, and here was her quote to me, Dieter, you got to talk to Casey. But he's been overseas, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him. You got to talk to Casey. When he explains it to you, he's so passionate about it, why he loves this name, he'll convince you. I said, okay. So, you know, I think for that ride home, I was a little bit like, wow, really? But you know what, man? It's his kid. If they want to name him Sundance or Sunny or whatever they're going to call him, kid's going to be a hopefully. You know, with that name, you're probably going to bring it. You have no choice but to bring it.
Fine point. You will have it.
So I'd love to talk to Casey when he comes back. You know, I was texting him that night. I was working the Dodger game. My wife texts me and says, Carrie's going into labor. So I text Casey. I'm like, hey, your wife's going to the hospital. And he's like, yeah, I just heard. And he's like kind of texting me. We were trying to get a computer there. I was trying to set up someone to Skype. So I don't really know how it all went down, but that baby came out fast. And I know Casey, you know, really thought that it was coming the next week when he came home, you know. So I know he was pretty bummed to miss that. But the good news is, you know, they're going to have a lifetime together. And you know, Carrie's healthy and the baby's healthy. So good for them.
Yeah, good for them. And I did have a questionable call, something I wanted to put out here that was sort of a discussion item for you guys, and I'm glad you're here, Gitter, to talk about this. There's an appeals for medal reinstatement right now going on with the IOC for the relay teams that Marion Jones was on back in 2000. The other members of the relay team want to have their medals back and not be stripped of their medals just because Marion Jones was taking performance-enhancing drugs. Do you think that is a good idea?
You know, Barney, it's funny, when you sent out that article to us, I wanted to get your opinion and Reed's opinion because you guys are Olympians, you know.
I think it's a team sport issue, though.
Say it again?
I think it's a team sport issue.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, do you consider a relay a team? Which it is. It's a relay team, right? So if one person cheats on that team of four – it helped you get the gold, obviously. Unfortunately, I don't think you get to keep them.
Yeah, I think there's no way. It's a situation of if your teammate is on drugs and they're part of that group and you're responsible, good, bad, or indifferent, for the conduct of your teammates. And that performance is irreplaceable of that particular individual. It's not like you're just plugging somebody else.
If I got the gold in the 100-meter hurdles and you got it in 400 meters and you got caught for steroids, I'd still get to keep mine because that's individual. But if you and I were on the same relay team and one of us cheated, I mean, as a bummer as it is, I would love to say, man, I hope they get to keep their medals because I just can't imagine giving those back. But it's a team game. It's a relay team and one of you cheated, so you all have to suffer. If it's me, I say I lost my gold medal and I keep it forever.
I think it's a funny thing with track athletes because it is an individual sport. They're not used to being accountable to anyone but their own behavior and still feel they should get their own medal because they earned it. Well, you only ran one quarter of the race. So without the other people, no good. No good. But the funny thing is you can battle this fight. You can rescind medals. You can rescind national championships when it comes to USC and Reggie Bush coming up here. You can vacate championships. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to look back in 2004 and go, oh, SC wasn't the champion. No.
I agree with that 100%.
They were absolutely the best team in football. They won it. They showed it on the field. And if Reggie Bush took an extra $20 or his parents took $2,000 or $200,000, it doesn't matter. The guy's performance on the field is what made the difference. And vacating the championship will never, in the public's perception, change a thing.
And Barney, if you were to look at the last 10 national championships in college football, if they'd all be taken away. If you really dug
yeah.
deep and found one guy that maybe took something, maybe the last 10 national championships in every college sport, the main ones at least, basketball, football. I mean, who are we kidding? It's a no-brainer. You don't think they do it at every school?
And the last 10 in volleyball, too, because somebody took a beach chair somewhere for a performance in volleyball. I mean, or a free watch or something.
Yeah.
I remember the Kent Steffers.
Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. When you have 90 guys on your team or 110 guys on your team, you can't control what they're all doing. You can't control what car Joe McKnight is driving that's from his girlfriend that was given to him by a booster. You can't control that kind of stuff. I can't control what Reggie Bush's parents are doing down in San Diego. You can't control boosters. I mean, you just it's unrealistic.
It's kind of funny because now we're on the other side of that issue that we just talked about with track, where now we're forgiving the conduct of a single individual and saying the team should be able to keep its medal. Isn't that strange?
Thought for the day.
No, I think it is odd that you can't slice it that way, but I think it's a situation where performance-enhancing drugs are one thing, if it's affecting the performance of the group. But getting some money on the side is not a performance-enhancing drug. Having your parents get a car or a house is not a performance-enhancing drug. It's just this whole business side that goes on, and the rules in regards to that kind of stuff are almost unenforceable. And what you say is true about every single championship, football, basketball, that's been played. Everyone knows these guys are getting paid. There's no way. Yeah. There's no way these guys come from nothing. You come from some of the poorest neighborhoods in the United States, and you drive the nicest cars on campus. How does that happen?
Yeah. Hey, guys, back in 1994 when Penn State won the national championship men's level, I had a friend on that team, and even he got a couple hundred in, like, a card. He had no idea from who, you know, after they beat UCLA. And I mean, it happens in little tiny sports like that, you know?
Really? A couple hundred? That would have gone a long way for me in college.
I wonder if I just got their national championship taken away from 94 because of that.
I guess I should have won.
You know what we do on this show. We get people fired.
That's right.
Get them in trouble with the NCAA. I mean, that's what we are about. We get NCAA titles stripped.
Joy Furbringer out.
Yeah.
Mike Seeley almost fired before that.
Did you guys have a guest on today?
No guest today. You're the guest. We're the guest.
You know what? Dave Smith, who used to work at 1540 AM, I was filling in doing some radio, and he was the afternoon guy, and he once told me, you've never done a show in radio until you do it with just you and no guests. He's like, guests, having guests on, you know, on your show all day long for a few hours is easy. He's like, but a caller-driven show where it's just you and your opinions is a real radio show. So congrats to you and Dan Madden.
Nice. A real show. And Alex.
Yeah,
Alex is here. Don't.
Well, hi, Alex. She's never even seen her. She doesn't even know me. She doesn't care. She never even says hi when I call in. It's a joke.
Dude, if you would stop hanging with the Lakers and come back to your roots,
yeah,
come back to the little people who are meant to
be
just a pup.
Listen, I will be in that seat next Monday, and Dan, I want one of those weird breakfast dishes you always eat from that Mexican place. I want you to bring me one next Monday.
All right, that's next Tuesday for those of you playing at home because it's Memorial Day, and we are not having a show.
Are we having a show on Tuesday? I'm around.
Show on Tuesday. Right on.
Wait, are you around?
I'm around.
Okay, he's in. We're taking Alex's mic.
Jeez, I don't even know if I'm around. I assume I'll be.
Yeah, I'm around.
I got you guys.
real quick, did anybody see Reed Pretty's tweet picture of the sun coming up in Vegas? Our guy stayed out all night long rolling the dice.
I love it. I love that he's living a little bit. You know, he just got back from Russia. He had to watch some puppies die.
Yeah.
The mom die. I mean, the guy's had a rough couple of weeks. Lost, got crushed down in the third place. First of all, he had to play for third place. How absurd is that?
Absurd.
Yeah. I mean, so are Orlando and Phoenix going to play it out afterwards? In the consolation game.
Brutal.
That's awesome.
Ludicrous, stupid volleyball idea. So, yeah, it's good to see him out there gambling a little bit and looking around. Of course, he's got a kid on the way, too. So it's about to be, buckle down in parent time.
Does anyone love Vegas more than Reed Pretty? It's a little bizarre how much he loves Vegas.
I love Vegas for 2 days.
I think Evan Paddock loves Vegas.
2 days. He invited, actually, Alex. He said, let's get in the car right now. We'll drive to Vegas.
I think we're included on that one.
No way. I'm the third wheel in that. I'm the guy you drop off in Baker. You stop in Baker and, like,
your
you drive
wife.
Away, and I'm looking around for the car.
He invited your wife and kids, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It'd been great.
Yeah, the wife.
All right, kids. Hey, I got to roll here in Fox, Arizona.
Thanks for calling
in,
man.
We got to finish this up. All right. Love you, kids. And I miss you. I really do. Later, boys.
All right. Chris Geeter McGee calling in. I think that's it, dude. Show's over.
Ba-ba-ba.
Thanks to the chat board. Thanks to everyone for not calling in. 347-677-1525. Your phones are broken. I understand. It's no problem. We'll be back next week. We're going to have another show. Lots of good stuff. We'll get more into juniors. So
Tito's
get into
that. Tacos for breakfast? No way. Tito's tacos are terrible. Big Daddy.
Brothers Burritos.
Yeah.
That's Dan Madden style. Alex, don't hit a peacock on the way home.
All right.
The Net Live. Be good. See you next Tuesday. Have a good Memorial Day.